You know, the Christmas is, see if you can relate to any of these. You know, the Christmas is almost here when there are more pine needles on your carpet than on your tree. Can anybody relate to that? Does anybody have more pine? Yeah. We bought a pine tree, and we had it right after Thanksgiving, and we had more pine needles on the ground than actually on the tree. And so we got rid of the tree and got another tree before Christmas. So, you know, Christmas is almost here when the credit card is smoked along with the turkey and ham. Yeah. You know, Christmas is almost here when It's a Wonderful Life has been shown for the 13th time. You know, Christmas is almost here when a trip to the mall and back is more challenging than the Indy 500. Just by show of hands, how many of you still have some more shopping to do? Anybody want to admit to it? Okay, whoa! Good luck. We'll pray for you after the service. You know, Christmas is almost here when you're pulling an all-nighter because of the words, "some assembly required." You know, Christmas is almost here when your Christmas list is written in black while your checkbook balance is written in red. You know, Christmas is almost here when the infamous fruitcake returns from its 12 months of hiding. Oh, here we go. You know, Christmas is almost here when Santa's belly is not the only thing shaking like a bowl full of jelly. Are you overwhelmed by Christmas yet? Are you overwhelmed by the hurrah, by the glitz, by the glamour of the Christmas season? If you are, I have wonderful news for you. This morning, you can take a big, deep breath and a sigh, because I'm going to share with you out of the Word of God what the Christmas season is really all about. It's really all about, and it's in here. There's a few things I want to just share before we get going. I'm fully aware that we have different people here with different ages and different religious upbringings and different backgrounds, and I just want you to know, as a pastor, I am glad you are here. Every one of us are here. I'm glad you're here. Better yet, God is glad that you are here. How many of you know that? He's been waiting for you to show up today, and He wants to speak to your heart today through the Word of God. There's a few things I want to share. Number one, about us. We believe that the Bible that is in front of your pew and the book that I'm holding, and the Bible that you've seen some people walk in here with, we believe this is indeed the Word of God. We believe that, and we make no apologies for that. And many times I will, and I get a little bit of controversy for this, because I discourage people to come to the faith if they want to accept Jesus Christ, but they don't want to accept His Word. I'll say, you're wasting your time. Don't worry about it. Because you cannot have Christ without having His Word. This is the point. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it would be a shame and a pity for you to come to a church and not being presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to do that this morning. And the reason I share that also is because the Christmas message is centered in this book. I mean, you know that. Many times, I've watched so many Christmas movies. Some of my favorite are Christmas Carol and Jingle All the Way and The Preacher's Wife and The Muppet Christmas and The Nightmare Before Christmas, all the other, and they all are wonderful stories about Christmas. But the genuine article, the real Christmas story, is found right here in this book. It's in the Holy Bible. And so I'm going to present this to you this morning out of this book. And the second thing that I just want to share before we get started is I want to just give a special welcome to a certain group of people. Those of you who are irreligious, those of you who are non-Christians, you're still not sure about this Christianity thing. I especially want to welcome you this morning because I have good news for you. I have good news that, like our drama said and like our song said, that you might be waiting for. The answer to the Christmas season and to the life and the void, the thing that's missing, like our friend said here on the bench, it's Jesus Christ. It is Jesus the Christ. And He is the reason for this season. And I want to welcome you this morning and invite you to consider it, to think about it, and to know that we are glad that you are here. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, in your Bibles. You have a Bible in front of you. I'm going to read out of the NIV because that's the Bible, most of the Bibles in the pews. The Gospel of St. Matthew. You know, as Christians, we don't think that we're better than anybody else. I want to kind of relieve some unspoken tension here for just a few moments. We don't think that we're better than anybody else. We mess up. We make mistakes. We sin. We fall short. We do have hypocrisy in our lives. There are some things that we say, we believe, that sometimes we don't live it out. There's some things in this Bible that sometimes we don't live out. But we know who to turn to. We turn to our Lord, our Savior, our Jesus Christ, when we fall and when we make mistakes as Christians. So we don't think that we're better than non-Christians or people who haven't accepted Christ. No, no. If a genuine Christian doesn't have that kind of a pride, that's for sure. That's for sure. John 3:16, I believe I heard it read earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not just a few select people that meet in a church building on Division Street and 40th. God came for the world, for everybody. And the Christmas message is applicable to both the Christian and to the non-Christian. The people that believe and the people that don't believe, the Christmas message is applicable to you. And I'm encouraged by that, and I want to encourage you with that this morning. This could be one of the most divine moments that you have experienced all year, and which is good because it's the end of the year. So you can say, you know what, I met with the Lord. It could be the most divine moment that you have had this entire year, because I believe God wants to speak through his word. Sometimes people will ask me as a pastor, they'll say, hey Jeff, how does God speak today? How does he communicate with his people? And it's always the same. He chooses to speak through his word to our hearts today. And I believe that he's going to do that. And whether your heart, you know, we all have, I'm just talking for a little bit, is that okay? I'm just sharing with you, then we're going to get to the word. We all have different heart conditions, both physically and spiritually. We have all walked into those doors back there, or back here, or over there. And some of us have had broken hearts, some of us have had discouraged hearts, some of us have had fragmented, divided, skeptical hearts, hearts that are hard, calloused, cold, shut down, and completely turned off. But you know what's amazing about God and the Jesus that we serve? He can penetrate anybody's heart at any time. And I'm just asking you to consider, could it be today? Could it be today that he wants to penetrate your heart with the Christmas message? And I've been praying for that for several days, that the Christmas message will be like none other, like you have experienced before. That today God will really reach our hearts with the simplicity of the Christmas message, of why we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So the question I have for you is, will you open your heart today and receive his word? Turn with, okay, you got Matthew 1. Here we go, look at it. Matthew 1. Let's read 18. One of the customs we do here at Richmond, I just invite everybody to stand, if you would. We believe in the authority of the Word of God. So if you'd stand with us as we read the Scriptures, then you can be seated. Again, this is out of the NIV. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me, interpretation there, okay? They didn't have sex, and she was married. Or she was not married, they didn't have sex, and she was pregnant. Don't ask me how that works, okay? Only God knows. 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him, what's the next word? Emmanuel, which means what, church?
God is.
I want to read verse 21 again. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and they will give birth to a son. Let's say it again. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is an important concept we need to grasp today during the Christmas message. God named his son Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So you can be seated. I promise I won't ask you to stand ever again. I shouldn't say ever again, should I? In the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testaments, names had a lot of meaning to them. They were packed with significance. If a parent were to name a child, it had tremendous significance. It described the destiny of that child. It described the child's heritage. It described several things about the name. So in the Old and the New Testament, when you were named something, there was a lot of purpose and a lot of meaning to that name, much different than today. Sometimes we just name names just because they sound cool. And I got to admit, I really do, that our oldest child, when we were deciding to name our oldest boy, our first child, we bought one of those little books. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That have like 10,000 names, you know, of girls and boys. And we scrolled through there and we were trying to find a name that looked really cool. And sure enough, we thought we found one, Hunter. We thought we were going to name him Hunter or something cool like that. And then it wasn't until a teenage girl came to our youth group and said, "Hey, I got a name you could name your child. How about Ethan?" And Rebecca and I thought, Rebecca, you want to just wave your hand so people know who you are? That's my wife. Rebecca and I, thank you. I'm always proud to have you raise your hand. Rebecca and I, do you remember this? We said, "Ethan, wow, Kelly, that's a great," her name was Kelly, "that's a great name. We're going to name him Ethan." And that's a cool name. And we just simply named him because it was a cool name. And somebody later asked me, "Hey, what does Ethan mean?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, you know, but it's got to have meaning somewhere." You know, come to think of it, do any of our kids have, do their names mean anything? Tyler, does that mean it's something? Or Hannah? We know. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, well, in the Bible, though, when you would have a name, when somebody gave you a name, it was packed with significance and meaning and purpose. So, I say that to say, when God chooses to name his son Jesus, it is to save men from their sins. At that name, everyone can be saved. Even when we say the name Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. When you hear the name Jesus, you immediately associate it with either Christianity or the Bible or God or the Son of God or Judaism or religion or whatever. People know the name Jesus. There is no name that's above that name. Jesus is the baddest name to have, and he's got it. But God, when he named his son also, you know, in the prophet Isaiah, in the Old Testament, Isaiah gave Jesus, he prophesied new names: Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, both in Matthew chapter 7 and in both in Isaiah 7 and in Matthew. Jesus is also known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. By God naming his son Emmanuel, he was communicating to the world that he wanted to be with us so much that he was willing to send his son to walk on earth with us, to be among us, to physically be with us. That's why he named him Emmanuel, divinity in the flesh through the son Jesus Christ. It's Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible says that Jesus was fully God, and yet he was also fully man. Why would God need to be with us? Have you ever asked this question? What in the heck does a baby boy who was born 2,000 years ago have anything to do with my life today in the 21st century? Is it just me? How is that important? Why does that happen? Why did God want to be with us? You might be asking that, and I'm glad you asked, okay? It's very simple. One of the things that's just kind of rocked me as a pastor with this message is how simple the Christmas message is. It's basic. Elementary. Here it is. God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship. He wants you not just to know about Jesus. He wants you to know Jesus personally. That is the Christmas message. That's why God sent His Son Jesus, to save us and to walk among us and to be with us. He did it. You know, can you remember the time where you wanted to be in relationship with somebody really bad? Whether a girl or a guy? Some of us have to think way back, right? Some of us are actually in that part of life right now. Some of us have to, just a few years ago, you want to be in relationship. What did we do? Do you remember? I remember working really hard to want to be in relationship with Rebecca. I called her. I checked my phone messages. I emailed her. I wanted to write a love letter to her. I wanted to let her know that I appreciate it. When she walked by, I pretended not to look at her, but really when she walked by, I looked at her. I wanted to be in relationship with her. I thought long and hard, how can I be in relationship and spend my life with that young lady right there? Well, in the same way, God wants to be in relationship with every single one of us that's sitting in this room. He wants to be in relationship with us. And He has thought long and hard how to do it. And He did it by sending His Son Jesus Himself in the flesh to be with you and to walk with you. I want to give just a 10-second history lesson of the Bible, real quick. It'll be really fast. In the Old Testament, which is the first 39 books of the Bible, the Old Testament, the closest that people could get to God was through rituals, it was through sacrificing of animals, it was through a lot of rules and regulations, it was through strict guidelines and laws, and only priests could be in the presence of the Lord. In fact, if you wanted to be close to God, the closest you could get, like in today, you would be standing outside the synagogue or the sanctuary. That's as close as you could get to God, the common man and the common woman. You could not come into the presence of the Lord in the Old Testament. You'd have to stand out in the rain outside of the church doors. And only the priests could go inside. Women, I'm sorry, the women weren't even allowed in the synagogue, in the inner courts. Even then, the priests weren't even allowed. Only the high priest could get actually in the physical Holy of Holies, the presence of the Lord. And God said, and this is Jeff's paraphrase, this isn't working. This isn't the relationship that I want to have with Sue and with Meredith and with Nancy and with David and with Tim and with Tom. This isn't the relationship that I want to have with Jeff McCoy. I don't want him to stand at a distance. I want to be with him personally, walking with him day by day. And so He sends His Son Jesus to come to the earth. That baby in the manger that we celebrate, the very fact that God sent Him to us is telling us that He wants to walk with you personally, in your life, every single day. I want to know that if I'm going to give my life to God, He's going to be in it with me. I want to know that. I want to know that He's going to be right there with me when I have to face this over here, and I have to face this over here, and I have to face that, and this setback, and this trial. I want to know that I serve a God who's in it with me. God says, Jeff, I understand. Here's my Son Jesus. Wow, that's the Christmas message. And it's simple and it's basic. If you hear nothing else this morning, please listen to this. You don't have to, here, maybe I'll have to scoot down here. Ready? If you hear nothing else, listen to this. You don't have to walk life alone.
Praise the Lord.
You don't have to. There are millions of people that are feeling as though they are in this thing called life alone, and it doesn't have to be that way. God sent His Son to walk with you, to be with you every step of the way, to be with you every minute of every hour of every week of every day of every month of every year. You don't have to do it. Do you ever feel as though you're on an island all by yourself? And some of the deepest questions that aren't answered, you're longing to be answered, and you're longing for companionship, and you're longing to be with somebody to walk life with you. God is there. We're about to look at a movie clip here, and I'm going to cue up Val. We're about to look at a movie clip that I think many of us are familiar with. You might recognize this movie. But this guy spent a good portion of his life on an island all by himself. And though he had a few things to give him comfort and to give him encouragement, he was walking life all alone. See if you can guess the movie, and let's see it. We got it ready? Let's see if we can watch this. What's amazing about that clip, kind of interesting, he picked up those packages, right? But he was still all alone. He had the island all to himself, but he was still all alone. He had a postcard sunset and sunrise every morning for 4 years, but he was still all alone. You can be in a marriage for 5, 10, 15 years, and even though there's two of you, you can feel as though you are all alone. You can be going to work 5 days a week, and there's several people around you every day. But when you're working and you're trying to achieve a task, you can feel as though you're all alone. You can be the social president of the world and have tons of friends, thousands of acquaintances, your phone book and your cell phone and your PDA packed with contacts and packed with people's phone numbers. Yet, when all is said and done, when you go and you rest your head on bed, you can feel all alone. I have great news for you. God never designed the masterpiece of His creation, which is you, by the way, to walk life alone. He wants to be with you. You could be all alone in your life, and yet the divine presence of the Lord be with you. And even though you're alone physically, you know that you're not alone spiritually. God is with you. God is with you. I'll say it again if you didn't hear it. God is with you, friend. He's with you. He came to send His Son Jesus to be with you. God knew that man wouldn't be able to worship something that was way up in heaven, abstract, on a throne. He's only up there and I can't relate to Him down here. God knew that wouldn't work. And so He sent His Son Jesus to walk with us in our life. I don't want to serve a God who's not with me when I go to work. I don't want to serve a God who's not with me when I try to raise my children. I don't want to serve a God who's not with me when I've experienced a tragic loss. I don't want to serve a God who won't pick me up when I fall. I don't want to serve a God who's going to make check marks by my name every time I screw up. Because guess what? He better have a lot of chalk, because I'm going to mess up a lot. I don't want to serve a God who doesn't know what it's like to question life. But I will give my life to a God who I can access at any time. I will give my life to a God who promises to be with me through the good times and the bad, the high times and the low times, the valleys and the mountains. I will give my life over to God who has gone through what I have gone through. I will give my life over to God who has walked the road that I am walking. For those of you who don't know, I've referenced this a couple of times. This is my first senior pastorate. I've been in ministry for some time, but this is my first actual senior pastor position, okay? I'm rather young, as you can tell. Jesus was 30, so ha-ha, right? I've been wanting to say that for so long, but I couldn't until I'm 30, so. Hear me, though. Hear my heart, please, friends. I don't want to sit under some preacher man that doesn't know what it's like to go through what I'm going through. I don't want to sit under some preacher man that speaks out of nothing but head knowledge and doesn't believe it in here. I don't want to sit under some preacher man who hides in his house every day and comes out on Sundays at 10:30. I don't want to learn under a pastor like that. I have sat in the seat of judgment. I have condemned pastors. My last three pastors, I have accused them of not doing things. I have accused them of doing something wrong. And you would do this, and you should do this, and all this. And I just talked a lot of game until I came into this position. And I shut my mouth. I've said that before, right? I've shut my mouth because I had no idea what a senior pastor had to go through until I walked in his shoes. Now I have a whole new respect for it. In the same way, we don't want to serve a God who doesn't know what it's like to go through some of the struggles that we go through. In the same way, you shouldn't want to have somebody walking life with you who doesn't know what you're going through. I don't. But God knows what you're going through. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to walk with us. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. That's the Christmas message. I've been thinking for a long time, how do I end this message? I've also struggled too as a pastor because you know what? Surely, God, it can't be that simple. Pastor Frank, is it that simple though? It is that simple. It's that simple. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ because He's here with us, He's here with you, and He wants to walk with you.